The next case this morning is Building and Construction Trades Council versus Carson City School District, Hamilton Solar. It is case number 57730. Good morning. Langston, Mr. Navarro, and Mr. Pavlakis, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well.
May it please the court, my name is Mike Langston. I'm representing the Northern Nevada Building Construction Trades Council. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, if I may. Your Honor, I've been advised that the mootness issue will be raised once again. I'd like to address that first of all. This is not a case that is moot. I believe it to be a case that is of first impression. As noted in the school district, in its response to this court's order to show cause, even the district recognizes that this is a issue of one iteration or another is bound to occur again. That's in its response at page 8. The Trades Council agrees and notes that it has already occurred since the district court's decision of December 30th, 2010, and that's indicated in the affidavit of Paul McKenzie, which I submitted with my response.
Mr. Langton, on the issue of mootness, am I correct that other local entities, other governmental entities, joined with the Sparks contract in addition to the Clark County School District here?
Carson City School District.
There was testimony to that effect. I believe there was an affidavit from Mr. Reed Hamilton, that in fact six other entities, one including the Reno Tahoe Airport Authority, and I think the other five were school districts, had joined the Sparks contract before December 30th when we went to the hearing.
Since
that time, Washoe County did.
Okay, but the record is silent as to what the status of those other contracts
are. Correct, and I do not know.
Okay.
Mr. Langton, I would also like to ask, since our capable of repetition but evading review has a pretty strong word in it, the case would have to never be able to be adjudicated in order for us to consider a case such as this. So my question is, there seems to be some timing in this case where there was at least a six-month period where your clients could have sought a stay or an intervention, because there was, of course, that short window on completion in light of the need to be completed by a certain time in order to appreciate the rebates. Why is it that building trades didn't seek to have the matter stayed when they had an opportunity to do so earlier on?
Well, first of all, a lot of the documents, the exhibits that were introduced at the hearing, were never publicly published, number one. My clients, you know, have a vast area that they cover. And the latches argument, I think that's kind of where you're headed, I think is unreasonable, because if you're going to apply it in this particular situation involving Washoe County and Carson City, are you also going to apply it in Esmeralda County if, for example, as we're here today, there's something going on? I mean, we can't monitor everything. But the fact of the matter is that when we found out about it, we did act on it. Now, one thing I think is important in this particular case, and that is that the PWP number was not even sought by the Carson City School District until 2 months after they had entered into the contract with Hamilton Solar. Now, the statutes, 338013, say you're supposed to get that before you enter into the contract. And I think that's a significant thing here, because we do monitor the PWP numbers, and because that's, quite frankly, where most of my clients exist, is in the public works area, construction, as you know. So to answer your question is that they did the best they could. I don't think that the latches argument has merit in this particular case, because of the many myriad of examples that could be given about what's happening in Wendover, Nevada right now, or Clark County for that matter. I mean, We're here in what we think is a violation of law. And if somebody is going to be allowed to violate the law because somebody else didn't find out about it immediately when it occurred, then I think that's going to lead to an absurd result, quite frankly. In this particular case,
Let me interrupt you for a moment. You brought an action for a petition for a writ of mandamus, correct?
That is correct.
And at this point...
Or writ of prohibition.
What relief could we give you as between you and the Carson City School District?
Probably none right now, Your Honor. I mean, the fact of the matter is we tried to get this thing done December 30, 2010. We're now in September of 2012. And the contract required it to be performed within 12 months. And that's another frustrating part that I had when I was preparing for today's argument, because I anticipated that argument. And that is that, yes, has Carson City completed the project? I believe they have. I've been informed they have. I don't know for a fact that they have. But does that mean that they didn't violate the contract in the first place? Recently, this court, in the case of Orion Portfolio Services 2 versus Clark County, said in 126 Nevada Opinion 39 that a contract obtained through competitive bidding is void if it materially differs from the contents of the invitation to bid. And I think that case, and unfortunately I found it last night instead of when I did my brief, but it had only been, you know, so that's the way it is. But the fact of the matter is that if the contract was done on a void contract, can you give relief? No. But can you address the recurring and the not just likely, but the actuality of it recurring in the future? Yes. And that's the mootness argument that I think we have to move to, because this is a case of first impression. In as you know, by reading the briefs and the record, Sparks put out a contract without a dollar amount on the bid. If you review carefully, there is no dollar amount that's specified on the bid. I don't know if it's in the record, but I thought there was testimony, and I, quite frankly, I looked for it, I couldn't find it. I thought that the PWP number for Sparks did not have a number and that the number was around $650,000. We're talking about a $10.5 million contract in this particular case. And when they got the PWP number, that's the number they put on it, was $10 million. But they did it, like I said, 2 months afterwards. How can you put out for bid? Now, we're not challenging the Sparks contract doing anything wrong. That's not an issue here. We're not challenging the fact that Carson City School District had the right to join the 332 aspects of the case, because purchasing products, whether it's widgets or solar panels, is not the issue. It's the installation of them that requires a construction in a public works project situation. And so assume for the sake of argument that they have that Sparks did properly bid under 338 the installation on their situation for that small contract. How can Carson City avoid bidding under 338-1385 when it requires you to advertise for a bid for the installation on a public works project? Now, I've reviewed incessantly Chapters 332 and 338, and there is no exception for joining or no allowance, statutory allowance, to join a public works contract because it's tethered to a 332 purchase. There's no exception in 338, and there is no provision in 332 which allows that to occur. And yet, that's what everybody did. They said, oh, we're going to join the construction. Now, I think one of the cases, or one of the, to answer Justice Hardesty's question, involved Lyon County. They clearly have different prevailing wage rates in Lyon County. And the answer is, the retort is, oh, we're going to pay prevailing wage. But as the case law throughout this state has been, those prevailing wage laws are not for the benefit of contractors. They're not for the benefit of the public entities. They're for the benefit of the workers. That's in all of my brief, I hope that it's taken and considered. And so my clients are here today protesting the fact that this should have been bid. And another aspect of the Sparks contract, which I think is important, they allowed, and if you read it, and I can't cite you the page, but it says that if you want to protest as a 332 person or entity, here's the way you do it. There is no quid pro quo for the 338 aspects. Now, clearly the statute exists, but under the prevailing wage law, those provisions are supposed to be into the prevailing wage contracts, and that is the losing bidders, and clearly my clients don't have standing to bid because they're not contractors. But there's no provision that says you, dear contractor, that didn't get this contract can protest under 338. And I think that's an important aspect that demonstrates that the Carson City and Sparks, quite frankly, had this contract that violates the law.
It's void and unavoidable. I just want to be sure I understand what you're saying. You take no exception to the 332 component of this case.
We're not challenging that at all.
Clearly. But with respect to 338, that answers at least our mootness question, because you are suggesting that in similar contracts, although it may be okay for entities to join under the original 332 standard, that under the 338 standard, this would always repeat itself. As long as that first contract exists, there would never be an opportunity for...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. One of the things that was brought up in the hearing was, Hamilton and Carson City School District purchased $5.5 million worth of materials. That's all well and good. They could easily install that with any other contractor. And, in fact, if it was publicly bid, perhaps Hamilton would have gotten it. They had the experience. They had the wherewithal. Plus, they had the product. But the product was half of the contract, half of the $10.5 million contract. The installation was the other. And if you read the Sparks contract, it's really, really vague as to where these things will be. If you read the Carson City, quote, contract, and you find out about the installation, in one of the parts there, as I noted in my brief, it said that Reed Hamilton submitted a affidavit that said, due to the, let me find it here. I'll finish this part. Let me paraphrase it. Due to the need to modify, we can't give you a bid that's equated to the Carson City. Let me see if I can find that, because it is kind of important. I know I'm down to my 3 minutes here. But due to and this is in his affidavit, page 7 and 8 of my opening brief, I cite it. Due to the site conditions and the requirements, we are unable to complete the installation without modification of the original bid. That brings me right back to the Orion case, is that because it's substantially modified, it's not the same contract. And I think there was testimony that in some cases that the installation of the Carson City School District would not only involve a larger amount of kilowatts, because the Sparks said 35 to 120, but the Carson City said 1,900 kilowatts, 1,000 at the Carson City High School, 300 at three other schools, and 50 at one other. So there's substantial difference right there. But the Orion case said that if it's substantially modified, it's not the same contract. And that's what we're saying. I'd like to reserve my last minute and 31 seconds, if I may.
Very well, Mr. Langton. Mr. Pavlakis?
May it please the court. My name is Mike Pavlakis. I represent the Carson City School District. With regard to the I'd like to first respond to some issues that were raised by Mr. Langton regarding the mootness issue. I believe Justice Seda got right to the heart of the matter when she asked about evading review. There's a three-part test that this court has announced in the personhood case and in other cases when the court will consider a matter that is now moot because it involves a matter of undisputed importance, it's capable of repetition, and if it's evading review. I'd submit that the issues in this case are not evading review. The Carson City School District was not the only entity that joined in the Sparks contract. There were no protests, no actions taken against those other districts. In fact, during the pendency of the hearing before the senior district judge below on December 30th, Washoe County School District was contemplating joining in the Sparks contract and subsequently did join in the Sparks contract. The affidavit of Mr. Langton's client that was referred to specifically talked about having conversations with Washoe County School District with regard to its joinder in the Sparks contract and the objection that Mr. Langton's client has to that joinder. No action was taken against the Washoe County School District. In addition, during the pendency of the Carson City School District actions, there was a neighboring school district, Lander County School District, that did its own advertising for bids. And as a result of that advertising that was conducted by the Lander County School District in June of 2010, Hamilton Solar was awarded a contract, and subsequently the Churchill County School District joined in the Lander County School District contract. There was no objection. There was no action taken that's of record in any location by the appellants in this case. And that's important because there's a Ninth Circuit case called Fair versus United States EPA in 1986, where the Ninth Circuit said that an appellant can't create its own argument of evading review by failing to post a bond, seek an injunction, or requesting a stay pending appeal, all of which were available to this appellant during the pendency of these proceedings. You can't create your own request for relief by failing to take the actions that are available to you. We submit that the senior district judge correctly concluded that mandamus would not issue in this case to compel the school district to do the bid process because there was no prohibition in any of the statutes against joinder. This was a difficult issue. It involves the interplay of both public purchasing contracts under 332 and public work contracts under 338. Both of those statutory schemes call for the payment of prevailing wages, and both of those statutory schemes provide for and require public advertising on public projects.
Do you make anything of the language in 332.195 that speaks of joining contracts with the authorization of the contracting vendor? To me, vendor is more goods than contract services. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that in the context of 332, Your Honor, we're talking about purchases of goods and services. We're not talking about actual construction of a building. So in the context of 332, that's absolutely correct.
And does that introduce an ambiguity into the statutory scheme for joining these contracts that then justifies reference to legislative history and other statutory construction sources?
It may, Your Honor. In this case, there was nothing in the legislative history that was introduced below that swayed the district judge either way. There was simply no prohibition in Chapter 338 against joinder. In this particular context, we had a request from the city of Sparks for a turnkey installation of photovoltaic systems that complied with the requirements of the NV Energy rebate program. The request was for bids on a per-unit type basis, per megawatt. And the request was for bids based on pole-mounted versus ground-mounted. Mr. Langton indicated that there was no specific location identified, and that's because there was specific thought given by this consortium of Northern Nevada procuring agents that some could be on parking lot areas, some could be on building tops, some could be ground mounted, and in fact that's what occurred in Carson City. Statutes simply don't prohibit joinder in this manner, and if the policy is to ensure that there is payment of prevailing wages, that was done in this case. If the policy of the statute is to ensure that there is public advertising, that did occur in this case. In fact, the advertising that was done in this case was done in November of 2009. The Sparks contract was awarded in December of 2010, and Carson City requested joinder in the Sparks contract in April of 2010.
Please finish your thought.
So within 4 months of the award of the Sparks contract, and incidentally, Hamilton Solar was one of 11 bidders, and it was 23% lower than the next lowest bid. Justice Sada?
If we accept the premise that Justice Pickering has set forth, which you agreed with, and I think actually Mr. Langton agreed with, and that is the 332. First, the premise of Justice Pickering is primarily a goods type of consideration. Then, and I said Mr. Langton essentially concedes that he doesn't see any violation of 332. Then my question is, how do we harmonize 332 and 338 with respect to a contract of this nature? The actual installation would always fall short of 338 consideration, would it not?
No, not necessarily, Your Honor. I think that we have to look at really what's the underlying contract here. And the question I had anticipated was, could a local municipality rely on a public advertising for the construction of a 12,000-square-foot building that involved 295,000 bricks? And the answer would be no, because that would lead to an absurd result. What we're looking at here, I think Mr. Langton said that half of the contract was purchase of the panels. I'd submit it's actually more. There was no direct testimony about the division. And the installation was incidental. And the bottom line here is that this type of contract where you're asking for not the construction of a building, and under 338.010 sub 16, the definition of public works really focuses on construction, reconstruction, and maintenance of projects, specifically buildings, that are financed with public funds. I would submit that there's a difference, and we have to apply a rule of reasonableness and common sense. And the way that this has been interpreted by municipalities for years, and even during the pendency of this proceeding, has been that this type of a contract is susceptible of joinder, and the advertising requirement was satisfied when it was done very thoughtfully and carefully by the City of Sparks in compliance with both 332 and 338.
Could this statute be relied upon by the Carson City Carson City School District to join a contract between the City of Sparks and a vendor who's going to provide snow removal to parking lots?
Perhaps, Your Honor. I haven't thought specifically about that, but I would think that that would be possibly the type of contract that could apply. I understand that there has been joinder in contracts for asphalt and sealing of parking lots, so I would assume that the type of contract you're referencing would apply.
Are the prevailing wages different between Sparks and Carson?
They are. And
is that difference material enough under Orion to suggest that joinder is impermissible, especially in a contract where the majority of the contract is devoted to the rendition of labor?
I would submit that the answer to the question is no. Your Honor, 5 minutes has been reserved for the attorney for Hamilton Solar, and my time is up.
I would certainly give you additional time if, Justice Hardesty, you would like further comment or response to your question.
I would. That's why I asked.
Your Honor, I'd submit that regardless of who the contractor is, prevailing wages are required to be paid. And under your example, if the primary component is labor, the prevailing wages are going to be the same regardless of who the contractor is. So I would submit that in the hypothetical you gave, that the local governments would be allowed under 332.195 sub 1 to join in contracts.
But it seems as if your response creates an ambiguity in the interpretation of 332, which would require us to examine typical statutory construction rules to determine how it should be interpreted, such as legislative history or whether it's compatible or incompatible with other provisions on public bidding or, for that matter, reconciliation of those inconsistencies.
Yeah, Your Honor. Your Honor, the legislative history that we found related primarily to Chapter 338, wherein the Mr. Tanchek testified and there was legislation in effect that changed the public bidding requirements under 338 to recognize that not all 338 public works contracts are advertised, that some are negotiated on the basis of private contracts. So I would submit that to the extent that resort must be had to legislative history, that the only legislative history that we found would indicate that the legislature recognized that not all public works contracts under 338 are the subject of advertising necessarily.
Answer your question.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pavlakis. Mr. Navarro, I'm going to give you your full 5 minutes, and I am then going to give Mr. Layton his entire 3 minutes worth of rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honors, and if it may please the Court, Peter Navarro representing Interveners Hamilton Solar and Stephen C. Hamilton, Inc. This Court granted my client's intervention based on Hamilton's representation that it had other projects related to the jointure provision of the Sparks contract. Therefore, we'd like to give the Court a status update on those projects, as well as every other contract entered into pursuant to the jointure provision of the Sparks contract.
Are you going outside the record?
Your Honor, the representations I made, we are prepared to supplement with an affidavit of the President and CEO of Hamilton to the extent the Court would like it. But I can give the Court its current status as to all of those projects and also inform the Court that we've let Mr. Langton and Mr. Pavlakis know this information as well.
To the extent that what you would present this morning here is outside of the record, I would ask that you not give us that information. I think that we can assume from both sides, having already heard, that there are ongoing other projects that your client is involved in. Would that be sufficient to allow you to make your legal argument?
No, Your Honor. And through the Court knows, we did look with respect to supplementing authority, but we found no provision to supplement information, which is why we originally thought of doing a notice of supplement. But we couldn't find it being allowed by the rules of appellate procedure. What's important, Your Honor, and I don't want to tell you something you don't want to know, but all of
the record generally is considered something.
Counsel, it isn't that we don't want to know, yeah. It's that we can't know under the rules of appellate procedure. There is a difference. I'm sure all of the appellate judges on this bench frequently would love to know lots of things, but the appeal that's presented to us, as you know, is presented on the record you all made in the district court, so.
Then I'll stick with that record, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And let you know that the Sparks contract, pursuant to Section 3 of that contract, expired by its own express terms after 1 year.
That point, counsel, could you tell me, and we'll go looking for it, but I didn't have time to read the Sparks contract before today. What is the record site on that, please?
It is Appellate Volume 1, 40. That'll take you right to Section 3 of the contract.
Okay, and with respect to that provision or that contract, Is it stated in terms of providing both material and labor without a distinction between the two?
I believe, Your Honor, it has a unit price with respect to the amount of electricity that would be needed. That's how it's set out. And then it has differentiation with respect to the mounting, if it's pole-mounted versus right. ground-mounted.
So the unit price is based upon the amount of wattage or electricity it's to produce?
Correct, Your Honor. And I also would like to, again, sticking with the record, let the court...
So what's your response to the position made by Mr. Langton that level of electricity was different for the Carson City School District than was required or requested by the City of Sparks, which I presume affected the price?
Well, I would submit, Your Honor, that the Sparks contract always contemplated that it would be joined in, which is the reason it was designed the way it was. It was a contract designed to be used by other municipalities, so it allowed for, you know, an extent of customization. And that's why it falls into our entire argument, you know, with respect to equitable estoppel. This was, a year went by. This was multiple public meetings over a year. This didn't happen in back rooms. People knew for the course of a year over that all of this could be done. And during that entire time, you know, I submit the Trade Council laid in wait. And I also note that there's no response with respect to we briefed that what the Trades Council is arguing here is that it could have a member of the council who had an opportunity to bid, didn't bid, and then gets to revisit that and protest simply by being a signatory to the Trades Council.
Well, Council, I think it's clear to me at least that the contracts at issue in this case are done and over with. Your client complied. The Trade Council didn't try to stop it or object. The real question is on a go-forward basis, should this panel undertake an interpretation of the statutes that brought the parties here in the first place? But I don't, as Justice Pickering pointed out, what relief can be provided now, as Mr. Langton acknowledges? None. So the real question is the interpretation of these statutes. And do you have a position on that?
Other than the fact that it should be moot because they've basically manufactured their own emergency by failing
to. That's right.
Our position is consistent with the school district. We feel that 332 and 338 can be read together and that they are. That the purpose of them, that, and I believe this is in the school district's brief, that these types of contracts are influenced by, you know, published by committee members that are part of these different municipalities. They're the ones who are informing the legislature as to what they need. They're the ones who are informing the legislature as to what to put in the statutes. So if we go to legislative intent, to the extent that that's necessary, then I believe the intent is there that these contracts are supposed to be read together so municipalities can do exactly what they did in this case. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Navarro. Mr. Langton.
Thank you, Your Honor. A couple of responses is, I think Mr. Pavlakis, when he said the Lander County and whatever the other counties were, I don't recall that being in the record as to us not taking action. I don't think that's in the record. As you know, in order to get an injunction, we'd have had to post a bond. In this case, it would have been $1 million. The main thing that I want to say, though, is that NRS 701B.265, which I cited in my briefs and documents, states in relevant part, the installation of a solar energy system on property owned or occupied by a public body pursuant to NRS 701B.010 to 701B.290 inclusive shall be deemed a public work for the purposes of chapters 338 and 341. And that should, in my opinion, solve the issue about whether 338 applies in this situation. I absolutely believe that it does. The legislative history on 332.195, I put in my brief and referenced it at page opening brief, pages 12 to 14. And finally, the district contends that it could join the Sparks contract because it was competitively bid under 338. But if its logic holds true, would it also take the position that if it was competitively bid in Idaho, with an Idaho contractor getting the job, that it could use that Idaho contractor in the state of Nevada. I submit, no, it couldn't, because of the prevailing wage laws that we have. And that would be even if the Idaho contractor was a qualified contractor under 341. Therefore, Your Honors, we respectfully request that you issue a ruling. I would have really liked it if you could have said that halt the project and go back and undo and unring the bell, but time doesn't allow that. But we need to have clarification. We need to have guidance from this court that 332 is clear, and the ambiguity, I agree, on the vendor issue, I think it's limited to the vendor. So I wouldn't argue that it's ambiguous in that respect, but I know you'll do your own analysis on that. But a vendor, in all definitions I've ever read, is a purveyor of product. 338 specifically talks about contractors and licensed contractors under 341. So I thank you for your consideration. I don't know if you have any further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Langton.
Your Honor.
Mr. Navarro, Mr. Pavlakis, thank you all for your arguments here today. This matter will stand submitted, and the court will be in recess until the 11:30 argument.
All rise.